couple of weeks ago, we spoke on, went through the book of Malachi very quickly, explaining the condition of what was the church at that time, all that was left in Judea, and the temple, the law service, the sacrifices, and all of those things, how they would be under 400 years of darkness because of their behavior, their sins, their leaders had led them astray. We spent the day on that, pointing ahead to Christ, pointing ahead to the Son of God. When we started Matthew last week, we began talking about the generation of Jesus Christ. This is given to these brethren and sisters who were among the Jews, who were the lost sheep of Israel, who were born of the Spirit of God and had a hunger and thirst for righteousness. They had a desire to see God. John the Baptist saw and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's what they were looking for. That's what they were taught by the prophets before them, He who would come into the world. They began with David when they were talking about it, because David is the king. This genealogy, if you remember, is about the kingdom. It's about the king who would come, which would be the Christ of God that we see born in Luke chapter 1. When the host of the heavenly multitude gave glory to God because the Christ of God was born into the world. Now, we went to Abraham and came all the way up to David, 14 generations there, and we'll get to them today, maybe being 14 generations and the reason why. We talked from Abraham all the way down to David, and we'll begin today, if you'll pray for the service, that in verse 6, Jesse begat David the king. We closed off last week speaking of sinful men and women who were blessed of God. We see Ruth and Orpah. We see their husbands dead, deceased, and gone. They came back to the land of her lineage, the land of her home in Israel. And we saw how they were blessed by Boaz to be able to glean the crops that was given in the law, to teach us mercy, to teach us to feed the poor, to teach us to love each other from whatever rank of life they're in. The corners of the fields were left for gleaning, and the poor would come and pick the crops that they would not be hungry. And through that love and mercy, God is a God of means. Now, God, I've told you before, there's only two ways things happen in this world. Either God ordains them, or God suffers them to be, okay? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God blesses us when we obey His word. God blesses us when we do the things He's told us to do. And through that love and through that mercy and Orpah and Ruth being fed, we see the marriage between Boaz and her, and we see that from Ruth, Obed begat Jesse. Jesse, here in the lineage of Christ, remember the 132nd Psalm, God swore to David, promised David, that his seed would sit upon the throne forever. We see that coming to pass now. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the news that was so great and so powerful and so precious that the multitude of the heavenly host was there around those shepherds in the fields with their flocks, giving praise and glory unto God. For Christ had come into the world to save the house of David. Yes, to save His people from their sins. We come now to David, the king, beget Solomon. As we read scripture and we go back and read of these kings, we must assuredly understand that these people were called of God. These people were enabled of God to do what God put upon them to do. We know that David was a man after God's own heart, the eighth son of Jesse, the Ephraimite. He was the king that God anointed, and he served the Lord, and his heart was right with God all the days of life except in one matter, and that was with Bathsheba. And if you notice first, when you go back in there reading about Bathsheba, the sin against Uriah was even greater because he put Uriah in a place to be killed so that he could take his wife. We see with that that God sent a sickness to the child that was conceived by Bathsheba and David in David's sin. This is a child of God. You've got to realize grace. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our actions, our thoughts, our choices. Our eternal life is in the Son of God. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He came to save his people from their sins. That child died. David rose up. They said, why did you mourn and weep and fast in sackcloth and ashes? And now the child is dead. It's as if nothing happened. And David made the point that when he was alive, I wept and fasted. Perhaps the Lord would be merciful. But now he's gone. He said, I will arise and go to him, but he shall not come again unto me. David full well knew that that child was with Christ above. When the spirit leaves the body, immediately it is with Christ above. Getting to the point, David comforted Bathsheba. And he went in first, she conceived and bare a son, and they called his name Solomon. And the scripture says, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. Can we grasp hold of the words in Jeremiah? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God is eternal. We need to take peace in this knowledge as we live in this dark, sinful world. That God is a God of surety and God is a God of love. God is a God of eternity. God never began to love you. God has always loved you. That's above my finite mind, my earthly mind. I cannot comprehend that. But God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. God has never forgotten anything. God has never learned anything. God's never made a decision. God is a God of purpose. And God has always loved his people with an everlasting love. Now, if you love God, he first loved you. That ought to bring a great comfort to us in the knowledge that God has loved us. And as he said in Jeremiah, drawn us with love and kindness unto his presence. And that kindness and that love is in Christ. Solomon was a man that was anointed king. There are those in the world that by what they teach would condemn Solomon for being a sinner. And in fact, he was a sinner. They would have condemned David for being a sinner. And in fact, he was a sinner because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brethren, that's where grace comes in. The unmerited love and favor of God upon his people. Solomon was made king over Israel, over Judah. Israel was the whole entire nation at that time. All 12 tribes. Solomon was made king over Israel. He sought the Lord. He did not seek after riches. He did not seek after power nor fame. He sought wisdom to guide, lead, and govern the nation of Israel, who were manifest at that time as God's elect in this world. God blessed Solomon with that. People call Solomon the wisest man that's ever been upon the face of the earth. And he was very, very wise concerning judgment. The wisest man that's ever been in this world was the first man that God created, that God formed from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. He became a living soul. That is Adam. He was the wisest man that's ever been in this world because he walked with God, the pre-incarnate Son of God, in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world. But yet Solomon was a wise man. David beget Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. This wise man, in all of his power and all of his strength and all the things that God, the judgment God blessed him to be able to judge with, all the gold and silver in the city of Jerusalem, and the building of the temple, the altar, and all things that God had commanded Moses would be built in that temple. And bear in mind, all those things point to the Lord Christ. And Matthew, the Jew, is telling these Jewish people that this is fulfilled, that the Son of God is here to finish the work that his Father gave him to do. Solomon was a wise man, make that point, and we see Solomon had a problem. He loved many strange women. He had 700 wives, I believe, in 300 concubines. They led his heart astray. I know it's a natural thing from God, for God is love, that we love our wives. That's the most precious gift that God gave us. That's why it's so hard for a man to live if his wife passes and goes to Christ before he does. I know that. I see it in people. I have a wife that I've loved since I met her 47 years ago. I've had her 47 years. I will be lost if she goes before me. Because we love our wives. Saw a man yesterday, Jonathan's dad, his wife passed this past year. I asked him how he was doing. He said, I'm terrible. It's hard to function without your wife. Solomon had love, and some of it may have been lust, but he cared so much about all of these 1,000 women, one over another, I'm sure, just thinking out loud here. Scripture says he clave to them. Understand, God made one man, one woman. That's the family. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm telling you about Solomon, the wisest man God ever made. If he gave wisdom, rather, if he can fall, how much more can we? We need to be careful. There's a reason the scripture says, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I'm getting off the point here, but I want to make the point that Solomon's wives led him astray. He allowed them to raise up altars to their pagan gods. He allowed worship to their pagan gods and refused to repent from it. He was an old man. Sometimes the older we get, the more humble we get. Sometimes the older we get, the more peaceful we get, the more tolerant we get, and all that's a good thing. But we have to stand on solid ground in truth, or we err. And Solomon allowed these things to come to pass. Here's a man that God gave wisdom to. And the point I'm trying to make to you, two, one, first and foremost, according to the scripture, is that he's in the lineage of David. In fact, he's the type of Christ that God said he would set upon the throne. David desired to build a house for God. David was a man of war. God said, you will not build me a house. Thy son shall build me a house. And that was Solomon who built the house of God. And Solomon fell. God told Solomon, he said, because of your actions, begin reading about 1 Kings 11, you can find these things. I'm going to rend the kingdom from you, but because of my love for your father David, what will God do for one man? Don't ever feel like you're alone. Don't ever feel like you're forsaken. What God will do for one man. He said, because of my servant David's sake, David whom he loved, David who was a man after his own heart, and he loved Solomon, but he said, because of David my servant's sake, I will not rend the kingdom from you. Why? Because you're David's son. I'm not going to shame my servant David by rending the kingdom from his son. I'm going to rend it from you through your son. And then we see Solomon beget Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the king of Israel. He was a younger man, of course, Solomon, for he was his child. Solomon had dealt very heavily with the children of Israel as a governor, as a ruler, as a king. They were to labor hard and heavily in building the things that God had commanded him to build. When Solomon died, there's a lot could be said here, but I'm going to go through this text of the genealogy of Christ. Rehoboam, there were those that came to Rehoboam and said, thy father's hand was heavy upon us, please lighten it. Rehoboam taught the elders, you know, you're always told as a child, consult your elders, those older than you, your mother, your father, grandchildren, they know more than you. They've lived longer, they've experienced more, they've seen more, their answers are more sensible. The elders told him to loosen the load and the people will serve thee all the days of their lives. And he went to younger people and the younger people told him, increase the hardness. And Rehoboam went with the advice of the young people, and Israel, the house of David, rebelled against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the son of David. Okay? We've talked about this recently. I won't go through the whole thing, but the kingdom was rent. God divided the kingdom. Jeroboam became the king of Israel. They went north into Syria. Jeroboam raised up two calves, put one at Bethel, one at Dan, said, these be thy gods, O Israel. And he led Israel astray. Now, he's the king of Israel, not Judah. This lineage is coming through Judah because Christ came from Judah. There was a change in the priesthood. Christ did not come from the Levitical priesthood under the law. Christ came from the tribe of Judah. And Judah, remember, Genesis 49, the scepter should not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And Shiloh means the peace of God, and that is in Christ. Jeroboam led them astray. Judah, Levi, and the half-tribe of Joseph, Manasseh, stayed there in the kingdom with Rehoboam. There was war the entire time between Judah and Israel. Okay? Now, I'm getting into Israel a whole lot in this because Israel would settle in the north. Jeroboam would be there. They would cease to exist as a people because they would lose their identity as children of God because they intermingled in with other people that God had separated them from. That ought to be a great example of why a child of God should not partake of things in the world. We lose our identity as a child of God. Okay? Doesn't mean we go to hell. There won't be a child of God touch the flame of hell. For nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But living in this world, we lose our identity and live in misery. Rehoboam passed, beget Abiah. Abiah beget Asa. Asa beget Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Jehoshaphat beget Joram. Joram beget Ozias. That is Uzziah. When King Uzziah died, it says in Isaiah chapter 6, the king of Judah, he beget Jotham. Jotham beget Achaz. Achaz is the same one we see that God gave revelation to because these are Jewish people. And their names in the Old Testament are under the Jewish alphabet, and in the New Testament it's given in the Greek, but in Isaiah 7 we have the words given to Ahaz. It says, ask this sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either live in the depth or the height of Israel. At the time it was given to Ahaz, the wonderful, upright, upstanding children of Israel, just as bad as we are today, were in bondage. They'd lost their identity. Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And God gave him the prophecy in verse 14 of Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What did he give him a sign for? What was the sign of? The Son of God was born in the world to save his people from their sins. God would send them a Savior. That's what the word Jesus means. Savior, Christ, meaning anointed. This was not just the Son of God. He was all God, yes, but he's all man. He had to be man to suffer and bleed and die and pay the debt of our sin to God in heaven above to keep us from the wrath of God, to redeem us back to God, to bring us at one with God. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which of course is God with us. Where was I? Ahaz beget Hezekiah. This is Hezekiah, another good king. Now there were bad kings. We're going to close the bad kings when we get to the point in a moment. Hezekiah begat Manasseh, who was an evil king. Manasseh that begat Amon. Amon begat Josias, another good king. And you'll notice with Josias, the scripture says he followed in the ways of his father. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but he would not completely tear down the idols and the worship of pagan gods, the people around them worship. Brethren, when we come here, we are to fellowship with God. All of the idols of the flesh and the world are to be torn down. There's not to be one left standing. Well, they're not bad over there. We'll let that slide. That's not what God says to do. God says to come out from among them. That means the world, the ways of the world, the sins of the world, and be ye separate. Josiah did not completely destroy all those idols, but he was a good king. When we have men to reign and rule over us, this is what happens. You see good kings, you see bad kings. Manasseh was one of the worst kings in Israel. His sins were great before God. That's no different from the nature of man and the governments of the world. We will go 4 or 8 years in this country with a king who's pretty good, and then we'll be turned around and we'll have one who wants to take the name of Christ out of this nation completely. One who wants to do abominations in the sight of God and bring them into this nation. This is no different from the kings of Israel. That's why Matthew's bringing the gospel to these people in Matthew and the Jews in Matthew. That's why he's telling them there's one coming who will sit upon the throne of David. Yea, in fact, he is here. And the increase of his government, there will be no end. He will judge in righteousness. He will judge in righteousness. In one sense, he reigns and rules over the world, but he's the king of the house of David. He's going to sit upon the throne of David. There will be no more evil kings in the land of David, in the land of Judah, in Jerusalem, in the church. That old city, Jerusalem, David conquered. They had all sorts of enemies that would come in and out of the kingdom. This holy city, New Jerusalem, the only people that enter in here are those that are born of God. You had no choice being born of your parents. You have no choice being born of God. The Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. When God translates you into this kingdom, you're in a kingdom that God has prepared, a church that Christ builds for us daily. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is a righteous king. And there were 14 generations from Abraham going into Babylon. Manasseh begat Amon. Amon begat Josias. Josias begat Jeconias. Okay. 2 Chronicles 36. 14 generations. He's giving this in fleshly terms that the Jews might understand it, because we are fleshly people in this body. We cannot understand the things above except what's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. This was going to be a time of bondage coming. It was because of the sins of the children of God. It was because of the sins of those in Judah, for Israel did not exist anymore. They had lost their identity, yet God spoke of them as if they were present and as if they are, because God would have a new Israel in the sense it would not be a physical nation, but a spiritual nation. Again, that's here in the kingdom of God. To be Israel means a prince with God. Jew and Gentile alike, we're all Greek. I mean, we're all Jewish, Greek and Gentile alike. We're all Jewish in the eyes of God, because Christ came from the tribe of Judah, and we are his brethren. We are his brethren, therefore we're Jewish. That's not saying we're going to be genderless. That's saying we are his brethren, neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. We're all Jew in the eyes of God. You turn to 2 Chronicles 36. You can begin to read about Jehoaz and Jehoiakim, the last of the kings of Israel. The last one was Zedekiah, who is the brother of Jehoiakim. God had told David in a promise that his seed would sit upon the throne of Jacob. Okay? 14 generations from David to Abraham. 14 generations from Abraham going into the bondage, because their leaders had led them astray. Because they had corrupted the law service, they built the groves, the high places, they caused their children to pass through the fire, they murdered their own children. That happens today. There was deliverance coming. Perhaps deliverance is nigh now. Okay? My point is, these people, what we read from Daniel 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. There were 70 years of desolation prophesied by Jeremiah, which his people would not even be able to worship God. They were in complete, total denial of worship. They could not sacrifice to God. They couldn't sing the psalms that David wrote to God. They had to worship the gods of Babylon. And the word Babylon means confusion. And when God's judgment upon them and that 70 years were completed, God prophesied of this in Isaiah 400 years before this man came on the scene, Cyrus, king of Persia. And God moved him after the 70-year period to allow to reconstruct the city of Jerusalem, the temple, and allow the Jews to be able to return to worship. Because God will have a people who bear witness unto him until this world is over. But they were never released from bondage. Daniel tells us the Greeks, the Medes, the Persians, and the last one who was over the Jews, and who was holding them in bondage, the king of a dark countenance, the Roman nation, the Caesars of Rome. We find because of their sins, they were carried away into Babylon, and after they were brought to Babylon, we see the names of Jeconias. You can find these same names in 2 Chronicles 3. Jeconias beget Salathiel. Salathiel beget Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel beget Abiud. And Abiud beget Eliakim. Now some of these people have gone past Scripture. Some of these people mentioned, because we were in 400 years of darkness, they were. And these, there was no more Scripture written. There was no more given. And some of these people came forth in that time. Their names are not in Scriptures recorded in Jewish history. And Eliakim beget Azor, and Azor beget Zadok, and Zadok beget Acham, and Acham beget Eliud. We're getting to the end. And Eliud beget Eleazar, and Eleazar beget Mathan, and Mathan beget Jacob. This is not Jacob, it's Israel. Because, and Jacob beget Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary. It does not say Joseph, Jesus' father. Okay? This is the lineage through Joseph. Mary's lineage to Christ is in Luke 3. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God, came to a virgin of the house of David. Remember, the seed of David would sit upon the throne. God, who cannot lie, made that promise to David, whom he loved. There was a virgin. Let me back up. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Man had not touched this woman. She's a spouse to Joseph to be married. He is from the house of David. She is from the house of David. In the law, it was against the law to marry one of another people, as in another nation. In the law, you were to marry to those in your own tribe, okay? He's from the house of David. She is from the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. She was a virgin. Christ would come into the world from a virgin, back to Isaiah 7:14. First of all, he had to be born of a virgin because he was going to bear our sin in his body. His body would become sin for us. There had to be a sacrifice of the best. Even with the Passover lamb, they had to take the best they had. This lamb had to be without spot, without blemish, no broken bones. It had to be beautiful. It had to be great. It had to be as perfect as a lamb could be. Let me tell you, this is the perfect, holy Son of God. That is the best the Father had to give us. God gave us His best. That's why we strive to give God our best. And I don't mean in dollar bills and gold and silver. I mean in walking humbly before God, seeking to love God, seeking to worship God, seeking to love God's people, the widows, the fatherless, those that are in hell, need help, those that are in need of the things of life. But he had to come forth from a virgin. That had to be perfect. Her womb was not contaminated with the sin of man. Under the law, if a man and a woman married, legally came together, they had to be purified afterwards. Because the man is a sinner, and the woman is a sinner, and they had to be cleansed from their sin. Brethren, sin and sin beget sin. We have sins of omission. We have sins of commission, things we do and things we should do and don't do. But we have a sin of inheritance. Would to God that His people could know that the moment those two seeds of the man and woman come together, there's a sinner conceived. We are sinners by our very nature. In the womb, this man had no inherited sin. It's important to know, as he's all God, he is also all men, all man. He never committed a sin. He kept the law to a jot and a tittle. Paul said he was, as touching the law, he was righteous. He never committed a sin against the law, so he says. But you see, there was a difference. There was a difference in Paul. He's a sinner by his very existence. Sin and sin brings forth sin. Christ had no sin. He was born into this world from a virgin with no lineage from a father, so to speak, to make that child a sinner. He was born of the Holy Ghost. The angel came in unto Mary and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women." He told her, "Fear not, Mary, you found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb without a man." People today, just like they have argued, virgins can't conceive. There's got to be a man somewhere involved. Let me tell you something. This has happened one time and one time only. Scientists say we've created life, we cloned a lamb, we cloned a gate. No, you didn't. You took the seed that God made over here and the seed that God made over here and you put them together and life came forth. Let me tell you, God is the giver of life. God is the creator of all things. Just as Sarah's womb was empty, just as Rebecca's womb was empty, just as Rachel's womb was empty, just as John the Baptist's mother Elizabeth's womb was empty, and God gave life, God is the giver of life. And the Spirit of God moved upon this young virgin woman, and she conceived this perfect and holy sinless child of God. Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Verily man, verily God. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. He is not the father of Christ. He was his earthly father in the sense of bringing him up in the way that God tells us to raise. I don't like that word. We don't raise cattle. To rear children. To bring them up. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. To teach them of God and godliness and the Godhead, to worship God. And he was under the law of service. He was his father in that sense, but Christ did not come from his loins. And then we see Mary, the virgin, who knew not man, whose womb was not polluted, whose womb was not corrupted or defiled by man and his sin. Yes, she was a sinner. Mary was not perfect. She herself called the Lord her Savior. But his father was God. The house of David comes in through Joseph, yes, but through Mary, who bore him in her body, conceived of the Holy Ghost. God is the giver of life. What God says is, and God is a God of purpose. Nothing can alter the purpose of God. I'll go you one further than that, since it hit my mind. All the sufferings we face in this world, all the sorrows, all the hardness, all the persecution, all the tribulation, all the death around us, and all of these things in this world, God did not cause that, but God suffers that. And whether we realize it or not, God uses everything in this world to His purpose and to His glory. When we disobey God, does He not chasten us? Is that not the love of a father correcting a son? When we go through trials and tribulations in life, we cry out to the Father through Christ, and He answers us, and we have peace, and we have joy, and we face these trials and tribulations, suffering for Christ, for His name's sake, and we're happy, and God is glorified in that. And the fact that we worship Him even in trials and tribulations, and the fact that He delivers us from everything that we face in this life, which is why Paul said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed within us. So Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus, Savior. Joshua, Savior, Hebrew name. Jesus, Greek, Savior. There is a reason that Moses led the children out of Egypt to the promised land. Moses could not enter the promised land because he took glory that belonged to God and smiting the rock. Must we, including himself? The law brings us up to the edge of the border. You can stand there on that mountain and wiggle your toes over the edge, but you cannot enter into the land of Canaan by the law. The law is just and holy and perfect. By it we're condemned. When God reveals grace through this man, Jesus Christ, we see Him high and lifted up upon the cross. We see that He died for us because we're sinners. Therefore, we could not and would not keep the law. Moses couldn't enter the promised land. He was of Levi, the law service. Joshua, name meaning Savior, the Ephraimite. What was David? The eighth son of Jesse, the Ephraimite. You see Christ. Joshua led them in the promised land. They had been under the law and the prophets and then been in darkness for 400 years. And God was going to send them the gospel, the good news that Paul told Timothy would bring. It brings life and immortality to light. It doesn't give you life. The Spirit of God gives you life through the sacrifice of Christ. You've got to be able to hear, to be alive, to hear. Go stand in the graveyard and speak to those people. See if they respond. Preach them the gospel. They're still in the grave. You have to be given life from God to hear the gospel. The Christ of God, the man, Jesus, had to be a man in order to bear our sins and our punishment and our pains and our sorrows. So heavy was the judgment upon him that from the last 3 hours upon the cross, the sixth hour of the day, noon, to the ninth hour of the day, darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Jews that were there at that time at the sacrifice of Christ, many of them who were there and delivered him up by God's grace, having this revealed to them, said it was so dark you could not see your hand at the end of your nose in front of your face. Why was that? Because when Christ's body became sin for us, God the Father, who cannot look upon sin, could not look upon His Son. That's why Christ cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because His body became sin for us. He bore the wrath of God. Zechariah said it would be a time that was not dark, that was not clear, but that at evening time that it would be light. In the evening time, when they pierced his side and the blood and water came out, proving that he was dead already, that he laid his life down. When the darkness went away, there was light. That's the light of God. That's Christ. The same light that was there on day one when God said, let there be light. 4 days before he created the sun, the moon, the stars. The Christ, the man. He had to be man, Jesus, to save us from our sins. He had to be Christ, anointed of the Spirit of God. He was conceived of the Spirit of God. When he's in the River Jordan with John the Baptist, the forerunner to Christ, who came preaching, if you remember going through Malachi, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When John was baptizing him, told him, I have need to be baptized of thee, meaning of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told him to suffer it to be so. For we must work the works of righteousness. Baptism is a work of righteousness. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Christ was baptized. This pleased the Father. You want to see the Godhead? You want to see the anointing? Here's God the Father in heaven. Here's God the Son in the River Jordan. They could see the Christ, the Son of God, in the water. They could hear the voice of God the Father in heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And they could see the Spirit of God. There's the three in one Godhead, separate yet one. They could see the Spirit of God descending upon him in the shape of a dove. By the way, that dove represents the peace and salvation of God. Noah released the dove from the ark, never returned, showing them that the land was dry. They could come out of that ark. But my point is, he was all man, and he was anointed. He was born of God. He was all God, and he was anointed with the Spirit of God. Hence his name, Jesus Christ, a Savior anointed, Christ Jesus, anointed Savior. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Now there's more in here. There are kings that are not listed here because they were cursed of God and do not appear, okay? There's kings of Israel that are not here because the kingdom was rent and the scepter stayed with Judah until Shiloh came. Don't argue that point. Take Scripture for what it is, for what it says. 14 generations from David, Abraham to David. From David and carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations. Carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. Now there are some that will say that we got 14 generations here and the Lord's going to return. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said, no man, not even the angels of heaven, know that day or that hour, that time. Only my Father in heaven. I can tell you it won't be until the last promised heir of God is conceived in the Spirit, whether it's in the womb or walking through this world, because there will not be one left behind. And the last child of God will have to be born of a woman or conceived in a womb and born of the Spirit of God. John the Baptist was born of God in the womb. He leapt with joy when Mary came up with the Christ child. Don't limit God. Don't limit the power of God. Understand the Creator of heaven and earth. Understand our Savior. Understand the good news that's sent by Matthew to the Jews. The Jews listed their
time in three ways. The time from Abraham to David. There was a time of patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and a time of prophets, 14 generations. 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Babylon, a time of kings, a time of priests, the religious services held, the priests and the kings. 14 generations from the carrying away into Babylon to where worship was taken away, where they were in bondage, where the Jews would never have another king over them. God promised that the seed would come from David. The seed of David had almost ceased to exist. Brethren, it's never too late with God. I hear people say, you better do it before it's too late. Let me tell you, the thief at the cross, at the very point of death, was quickened by the Spirit of God and given life and a hope to see Christ that very day in paradise. The seed of David was about to perish from the face of the earth. If I believed like most people do in the world, I would believe that Satan was rolling around laughing in glee. That's not what the Bible says, is it? They knew the Christ was here. Art thou come to torment us before the time? The devils believe and tremble. Revelation 12 says the dragon sought to devour the child as soon as it was born. Okay? This is the history that Matthew gave to the Jews. They were real big on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua. That's why Paul told them in Timothy to not be concerned with endless genealogies. It's not about Abraham or David. God manifested his love to them as God manifests his love to you. It's about Christ. It's all about Christ. He's telling the Jews, you see the lineage, you see the fulfilled promise. Now I'm telling you, the gospel is here. The good news, the King is born in the world to finish the work God the Father gave him to do. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. Lord willing, we'll start there next week.